Good morning. Again, my name is Hannah Kulani Machate. I'll be sharing the session in the absence of the chairperson, Dr. Maspole Motshege. Today we're going to be looking at the third plan, 2015-2016 for the Department of Correctional Services. We'll also look at the budget, 2015-2016, and the ACT. May I just take the opportunity of allowing the commissioner to begin and may begin by introducing your team that's going to be presenting things.
Chairperson, and good morning from ourselves. We appreciate the opportunity that you are granting us to present to the committee our track plan and budget. Chairperson, my name is Zachary Mugisha, and I'm accompanied by senior management from the department. Next to me is Mr. Nick Ligege, Mr. Ligege, newly appointed CFO, Chairperson. And next to him, Mr. Terence Radroker, who's acting as the Chief Deputy Commissioner for Strategic Management, and who will be giving today's presentation. Next to him, our former acting CFO is Nandima Reka, whose position is that of Chief Director of Financial Management and Accounting. Next to Ms. Reka, we have Mr. Tikombambo, who is the head of the IGR in the department. Next to Mr. Mbambo, we have Ms. Nema Chidela, our Chief Deputy Commissioner responsible for social integration. We have next to her Ms. Linda Bond. She is acting as CDC Human Resource. Mr. Mkwena is on the line. And at the far end is Mr. Emmanuel Crozer, who is the acting DC Human Resource. At back, we have the CDC Gito, Ms. Alisemi Sufie. Next to her, Ms. Polka Rotman, who is responsible for women. And we have also our Chief Audit Executive, Ms. Nosipo Zondo. Next to her, Mr. Ben Schmalberg, who is responsible for incarceration and correction. We also have Mr. Olela, who is our spokesperson, Chief Director responsible for communication. Mr. Mulek and the Boro, the Director of Strategic Management. And from my office, we have Ms. Joel Mepo, who is the Director responsible for the administration of the Commissioner's Office and also acting as the Chief Executive Manager in the Office of the Commissioner. Chairperson, we will do begin this presentation, being mindful of the fact that it has been requested of us that our strategy plan this time around has to include the Office of the Judicial Inspectorate. So that will also be covered by the presentation that we're going to make. And we're going to do the high-level summary, and if members go deeper into detail, we'll do that. At this point in time, I'd like to ask Mr. Adam Lasserota to take us through the presentation. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members. I will be taking the committee through our strategic plan for 2015-16 to 2019-20. We'll take a look into our overview, the legislative framework, institutional landscape, organizational environment, how we link to other government plans, as well as the strategic outcome oriented. In terms of our plan, we have three critical parts, which is part A, which focuses on our vision, mission, and values, legislation, issues, analysis, and outcomes. Part B will focus on the actual strategic performance elements, resource consideration, risk management. Part E will be linked to other plans, as well as the APP. But in our presentation, we are going to provide a summarized version of what is contained in those two documents. In terms of Part A, of course, we take our mandate from the Constitution. Secondly, we take them from the legislative mandate, different pieces of our progressive legislation, and as well as other policy mandates. In terms of our situational analysis, we are covering three key areas: the performance of the organization, which means the internal method, the organizational environment is focusing on performance delivery environment, as well as describing how we have developed our strategy in terms of purpose. In terms of the organizational environment, the key areas that we have looked at, staffing being one of them, IT, as well as other related issues such as professionalization of correctional services. We also looked at financial procurement, structural alignment of the organization, and issues that are currently being dealt with as occupational specific dispensations and other related HR matters. In terms of our plans, here we are linking to supporting outcomes of the current administration as well as the national development plan. We still align to our background flow where we contribute towards the fight against crime and corruption. We actively deliver on the mandate that are clearly outlined in outcome number 3, which is to make sure that all people in South Africa are, as we say, and also on outcome number 3, there are specific details that are sub-outcomes of the 7 mid-term service framework, which currently sits in our mid-term service framework, which is up contributing towards making sure that all sentence offenders are subjected to, also 80% of sentence offenders are subjected to correctional programs, and both parolees and probationers, 85% of them go without violation. So those are the three key areas that are sitting in our mission framework, which has yet to contribute to the task of priority. We're also focusing on the chapter 12 of the NDP, as well as the chapter 14. As I indicated earlier, we are contributing towards all the 14 outcomes. In the department, we contribute to outcome number 1, which is quality-based education, which is reflected in the national development of chapter 9, that is aimed at improving education and training and innovation. At DCS, we ensure that their school facilities and offenders are provided with an opportunity to attend educational and skills programs within Palestinian countries. So we've got specific targets that actually talk to those key issues. Second contribution we're making to outcome 2, which is the long and healthy lives of Africans, which is reflected in chapter 10 in the NDP, which is the promotion of health. In this year, we are posting facilities so that we ensure that offenders' health needs are being catered for, the food service units are resourced with required human resources, equipment and facilities requirements. And as I said, in March 2014, we had 68.7% of inmates who were tested for HIV and HIV. And 29 million areas contracted with healthcare systems that we actually contribute towards a broader plan of government to promote health and ensure that residents live a healthy life. On outcome number 2, which is our JCTS after outcome, which is chapter 12 in the NDP, the JCTS, there's an average of, in terms of offense totals, an average of 155,000 numbers that were incarcerated. And then they ask to six indicators that actually talk to how we contribute to this particular outcome. We're also contributing to the chapter 14 of the NDP, which is fighting corruption. And in this case, we have officials who are involved in corrupt activities, and we ensure that we're dealing with them exactly. So for the previous financial year, 41 officials were found guilty in disciplinary hearings for various transactions related to sex work, corruption, and maladministration. So we actually have 8 specific indicators of this particular issue. In terms of outcome number 5, we are contributing to the skills and training workforce to support an inclusive growth path. Our contribution is that we have been 1,063 officials who are subjected to training in line with the workplace skills plan. And there are about 3 indicators that we talk to that particular issue, which is an HR indicator. We also contribute in chapter 13 of the National Development Plan, which is outcomes for an effective and developmental oriented public service. in terms of our contribution to the department, we acknowledge the fact that we are a labor incentive organization, hence we're standing on the management of human resources. As a department, we continue to pursue professionalization of the production services through the establishment of the professional center. And here, the indicator that we support to this contribution is ensuring that we have our funded course fields in place of what I mentioned. The other contribution we're making is an international outcome, which is considering that we create a better South Africa, a better Africa, and a better world, which is reflected at Chapter 7 in our national development plan, which is in the position of South Africa in the world. We also need to say that until last year, the department was separate from Africa since it was launched in 2008. We hope that we have started, and we have been engaged in a number of bilateral conversations with African countries in terms of the work that we do for the department and sharing best practices in our opportunities for the government. So this indicator, this particular indicator is not keeping in reaching, we are actually keeping it in our vision. Another contribution we're making as a department is from nation building and social cohesion, which is chapter 15 of the National Development Plan, which is transforming society and enhancing the country. Yes, this year we continue to strengthen relationships with other society organizations and communities. We involve in communities ranging from victims of crime and dialogue with offenders. That is, I can say, one of the things that we and the aspects we have in both our APP and our self-centered approach and support this contribution. In terms of the medium strategic framework and for the current administration, as I said earlier, we are contributing and reporting on a quarterly basis, especially in the cabinet in terms of our performance, in terms of the three performance indicators. The first one is percentage of persons, offenders, or subjects subjected to corruption programs. We are saying in the current financial year we would like to reach 8% of those people at the end of the electoral year, we need to be able to have 80% of those that are subjected to corruption programs. In terms of social reintegration, we have identified two key strategies. The first one is percentage of families that are supposed to be without parole violations. And our target for this year is to reach 5%, and by the end of the electoral year, to move into 97%. Those potential provisions without violations as well, we are in 94 for the current year, and we want to move to 97 at the end of the electoral year. Our strategic outcome oriented goals still remain the same. We are still focusing on reintegration, incarceration, as well as social rehabilitation. Our learning model hasn't really fundamentally changed. We still have immediate outcomes that talk to demands, outcomes that talk to those who are incarcerated in our facilities, as well as those outcomes that talk to those that we are socially reintegrating. We still have a five program that aligns to our ENP, and those programs are administration, incarceration, education, care, and social reintegration. I'm not going to get into the details of this program in view of time. All I can say is that we've got links to other plans. Our plan is a strategic plan. We have an annual performance plan, which is a year one plan of what contains in the third plan. And our plan also links to the private partnerships, the centers that we have, as well as the long-term infrastructure and other things. As DCS for the current financial year 2015 and 2016, we actually have 41 indicators, 14 from administration, 8 incarceration, 7 realization, 5 care, and 7 social reintegration. Now, in terms of program 1 administration, there is a sub program called management, and under this sub program, we have 4. Strategic plan indicators. Those are indicators that we want to achieve over the next 5 years. And each of them has got specific indicators in our ACP. The first one being the percentage of surveyed people ranging for personal services performance positively. this is what we're going to pursue the next 5 years. And for year one, which is the current financial year, so we have to use for integrated communication and marketing strategy will be developed and implemented. The second indicator is percentage of official funds used of corrupt activities. For the current year, we say that we're measuring percentage of finalized legal tickets for system extended by the department. From a self-same point of view, for the next we want to ensure that the percentage of correction facilities, the community correction officers were integrated in the national and LA and infrastructure are rolled out. So for the year, which is the current financial year, we are measuring the percentage of server and VOIP infrastructure rolled out to correctional officers and community correction, as well as measuring the percentage of security and updates to correctional offenses. In terms of the inclusion of JIC, this responsibility is to ensure that they monitor compliance and they ensure that they can independent oversight to all correctional officers. Now, there's a sub-program, I mean, the allocation of JIC budget is sitting under sub-program administration. And we have actually included JIC as the sub-program, as part of sub-program management. And they've got a strategic plan indicator for the next 5 years. And the indicator is to ensure that percentage of correctional facilities has included faculties are reflected on conditions and treatment of inmates. And the first year, which is the current initial year, this will be measuring the percentage of unnatural deaths reports received from the DCS analyzed and ensure that treatment is provided to stakeholders within 30 days. Now, the second program at my administration is corporate services, human resources. The indicator for the third plan is to ensure that funded posts are filled financially. So a percentage will be measured there. And in the APP, there are two specific critical indicators that HR will be focusing on. The number of official training in line with the work field of plan, as well as percentage of management area employees, integration, employment, health, and wellness, which are all out. The third sub-program is finance. The indicator, the strategic plan, to ensure that the percentage of allocated budget ends per year. So in the current financial year, we'll also be looking at or managing the number of budget applications. Then we have sub-program two. So we've got program two, which is incarceration. And this program has a number of sub-programs. The first one is security operations. Out of this sub-program, from a strategic plan point of view, for the next 5 years, we'll be measuring percentage of inmates who escape from correctional and demand detention facilities a year, as well as percentage of inmates injured as a result of reported assaults in correctional and demand detention facilities. For the current financial year, we will be measuring percentage of unnatural deaths in correctional and demand detention. The second sub-program is facilities, and for the next 5 years, we will be measuring the number of facilities through construction of new facilities. And in terms of the CCP, number of new facilities created by upgrading or facilities on an annual basis, starting with the current financial year. The third sub-program is remand detention, and our strategic indicator for this sub-program is to ensure that operational policies aligned with the white paper on remand detention in Africa is implemented and monitored in all remand detention facilities. And for the current financial year, what we'll be doing is to measure the percentage of remand detention facilities where regular assessment is rolled out. The fourth sub-program is offender management. Saying in terms of the facility indicator, we will be managing and monitoring the facilities of overcrowding the correctional center and the management facilities in excess of approved capacity. We don't have this indicator in the annual submission plan, but it is reflected in our operational plan. Sub-program 3, which is rehabilitation, the sub-program on the correctional program, our strategic intent or indicator for the next year is to ensure the percentage of students or offenders are subjected to correctional programs per year. And this indicator is not reflected in the APP, but we have it in the operational plan. The other sub-program is offender development. Here will be measured the number of offenders who participate in the educational program, the daily attendance register per academic year. For both adult education and training as well as SDT. So for the current financial year, we'll be monitoring the rates of success that is obtained per academic year. There's also the strategic indicator that talks to the percentage of students that are the list of offenders registered for participation at the enrollment register. This indicator is also reflected in our operational plan. The sub-program that deals with psychological, social, and spiritual services in our third plan for the remaining year, we will be measuring percentage of incarcerated offenders through central correctional supervision who are involved in social work services per year. So we've got two annual performance indicators with regards to this sub-program. First one will be measuring the percentage of inmates who are involved in psychological services per year, as well as the percentage of inmates who benefit from spiritual services per year. And the fourth program is CARE, and this program is focusing on the well-being of our inmates. There are two sub-programs that talk to, three sub-programs that talk to this program. The first one is the healthcare service. For the next year, we will be measuring the percentage of inmates that are on antiretroviral therapy. And on an annual basis, in the financial year, we'll be monitoring the percentage and ensuring that the percentage of inmates that are tested in HIV and ensuring that they actually know the HIV state. On TB, the new pulmonary cure rate of offenders, it's also what we're measuring, but we don't have it as an annual performance plan. Both the HIV and the TB are critical interventions that are actually in line with what the Department of Health wants to achieve, and also the president in particular has made pronouncements about us having to focus on this. So this indicator comes to that arrangement. And the nutritional services, we don't have it as a strategic plan, but it's sitting here as an indicator in the APP because the percentage of therapeutic diets that are prescribed for inmates, as well as in hygiene services, we're also managing and monitoring the number of management areas with contracted healthcare waste services. Now the last program, which is a critical program in terms of ensuring that those that come out of our system are properly reintegrated in society. It's a social reintegration program. It has sub-programs, parole administration, supervision, community reintegration, as well as office. Now under parole administration, for the next remaining year, we will be measuring the percentage of offender profiles that are submitted by case management committees that are CSB. CFPB. We don't have this in our APP, but I feel they are trying in our operational plan. Sub-program supervision, we will be measuring for the next many years percentage of parolees without violations, as well as percentage of probationers without violations, which are reflected in our admissions to the framework. And in the APP, we are going to ensure that the percentage of testing, meaning parolees and probationers, as well as awaiting trial tests that are paid under electronic monitoring. Sub-program community reintegration. For the next years, we'll be managing a number of victims or those who are offended, parolees and probationers who participated in restorative justice programs. In the APP, in the current financial year, we will be managing and monitoring the percentage of parolees and probationers that are reintegrated back into their communities through halfway house partnerships. Office accommodation is not sitting at a strategic level, but at an APP was a critical element that applies to our capability in communities. We have in that we will be ensuring that there is an increase in terms of number of mental health calls established in community corrections. This is the total allocations, which is the CFO will actually take us through. But from the comments information, I'll just do that to summarize the question.
Thank you very much. Over to you, sir. Committee and also the funds that have been involved in the
is 1.9 billion, which is 2.1 billion in outstanding for accommodation charges, the municipal services, and the leases of all the residents that we are putting in the community. Appropriated is 3 million to the rest of the Get to Work program that mainly is run by the Department of Public Works on the maintenance of physical infrastructure and also the rehabilitation and construction of infrastructure. For maintenance, we run for 173 million, including 269 million in the prior year. And for the academic rehabilitation and establishment of physical infrastructure, it's 603 million, increasing the outlays to 607 million. As I've indicated, that will be affected the budget cuts, and mainly the budget cuts that will be affected, we try to look at indirect costs when it comes to the inmate population being sentenced or not sentenced. We affected the cuts mainly on compensation of employees, but under compensation of employees, our approach was that we are from a history where we have cuts when it comes to the post-establishment. And we cannot therefore afford to further decrease the post-establishment of the department. We then effected the cut under compensation of employees on non-post items. In other words, we effected the cut to about 14 million, increasing to 39 million in the outer year in the baseline of compensation without touching the post. And on goods and services, we then decreased the baseline from 114 million to 105 million. Well conscious, as represented, I think it was last year with committee, on the constraints that we are managing, especially at the services in the department with regards to the out of normalization adjustment on both the services, the social cohesion, which is a good component for inmates and the female component. And look at the NHS guidelines, not only because all government departments, whatever would be way above your inflation adjustment as projected in the NPF, we have to absorb as departments in our own baseline. So that's why it's quite important in the end to monitor this item and reprioritize to less performing. I'm not saying less important, but to less performing, because the whole allocation has been allocated to projects to program, but then if any project, any program is not performing as planned, we then have to take this decision into the department within the parameters of Section 3 of the CCMA with regards to the prioritizing allocated funds. And on terms of capital assets, we have to reflect that again to balance to the 137 increases to 45 million, that would be that 20 million country assets, the office NGF increasing to 100 million in the outcome of the NGF. And we also internally presented this to the budget committee, we had indicated that these cuts, not saying that there was a lack of 137 million in the pandemic, but having implemented the cuts, we need to assure, and that's what is contained in our letter that the National Commission signed to the DG of National Treasury, that these are the cards that we have to take by budget cabinet, but not to have negative financial growth. Close in year monitoring, and in which we have to refocus ourselves in terms of doing that timely, as far as able timely, to redirect less performing funds to where they are actually needed. And the message to program managers is that we're not going to review for areas where we stand cut. The worthy areas is the odd cost. Unfortunately enough, when we then discuss the strategy post that with the Office of the Director General, they then implemented the cut. They look at what we should have and what is contained in the GPS or the strategy of the Director General, then cut within areas, that areas. So we have to balance all of that. So in other words, services will still be enough and do that without kind of saying render never services, but we constrain the services that are accordingly. So effectively then with those cuts we just said program managers will still have to perform against the agency, against the type of threat, but we shall then do the solution for effectively doing that in areas of level performance and the other expenditure. So where we are understanding, we shall then prioritize those areas of funding to areas where we are needed. And we then indicate to share the allocation to the program as we think of the slide, I'm going to go into the program. but in our program, one mainly has indicated we have the management program, corporate services, and other management, the last component, which included GTO, included in the particular program, and ministry. We had, at the end of September, as well as including our chapter in the international expenditure, that was the management still put in the table. We had some meetings at the end of September, in March, and we indicated that we are expecting to spend 7.8 billion over the medium term. And the communicated in terms of funds for computer services for the children of facilities in our center. And this is also one of the projects of the project that is going to be run over the next around the GPG program and management, we indicated their money, which is going to be a production of our apps, and also communication is one of the personal services experts, and it does increase that the department for its national service is responsible for all expenses of checks. The budget, we have done some small analysis of the committee, this year only allocation in the national expenditure of checks from 2019 to 2016, showing how the allocations have increased over the years. It was 19 million by 2015. That was only three times more than 45 million. We're not saying that things are bad, we're just saying that we were cognizant of the funding issues, and in the year over the entrance, we tried to improve those allocations from 2010 to the financial year. Then on slide 10, we are allocating the allocations to the MPEF. The base year for 2016 is 45 million. That will increase in the financial year to 47 million. In the last outer year, to 43 million. Those are the allocations of the judicial district. And the program in Catholic Program 2, we indicating the programs that are funded and also for the provided with regard to the funding of the in the ENE at the end of September, there's 27,262 posts that were built in the government of the Unilever and the Department. The post section is one of the most cost drivers across the different programs and subjects. In case it is very little intensive, this program, especially under the SAS program of security, we then provided some funds for over the MPF with regard to the build up security equipment and also security consumables, including the selected jacket, the home park, papier, and research checkers, and the project of the security was we involved and for some of the most of their items, especially the prepared and import element. So our security can sometimes run over the normal financial year. So we have programs that show the methods we recommend, especially on the aspects that involve AMCO. We held in engagement with the table of AMCO late last year because there were some delays that was experienced. So the committee, the big administration committee, we don't do that internally. It's done at AMCO. So we had to have that engagement to try and ensure that when we have sent the request to them internally, then if they can just access that infrastructure before in the past, I think before in 42 years ago, we had the processes going over the financial years when money has been allocated in the previous financial year. So we did give you that thing that the challenge that we have to do at least the time span that we have. And the program in Qatar Relationship Program 2, the indicated in the other class is also to be appropriated funds for the program, which is 6 million, including to 826 million for both the educational structure and also for the maintenance of the physical infrastructure. And we projecting over the MCF that there shall be 4,787 additional work spaces completion of the center, and I must repeat that in one area that we have not been well performing because of poor performance of contractors
You have 10 minutes left.
the municipalities, when they do their inflation adjustment thing on the year, it's not the 5.5 or 4% or 6% as we can see as part of our data projected in CPI. Which is not allowed in the important to from within our own allocation for the short term. So we financing the reinvestment around agriculture and also on the resource in the department. The level towards we are putting funds within our own system is not as fast as far as we have left it should be, but nonetheless we are maintaining that over the NGF to ensure that the people in Cameroon, there are funds allocated to revitalizing agriculture and resource in the department. Indicated check that will indicate how much is allocated for head office and the type of head office allocation for centralized funds. In other funds that in the department are only allocated in certain activities in the office, mainly those will be around the education and capital rights program, the reward line, and the GPT, the children that are responsible for the GPT allocation. So those are the funds are centralized in the office. The rest of the funding is centralized up and so even there is in line with the inmate population and probationers and allocation transfer allocation. We then indicate the basis of the cost drivers in the department that we keep it as specialized, we maintain for 2% over the next 3 years, and then with regards to the inmate population communicate for areas that are valid in the basis of the CCA here in the decision that is extremely one, also indicating the base here, the technology purpose for the average image population, the estimating an increase to 163,000 and for the average parole supervision population, we are estimating an increase from the base of 2796 in year to 92,077 in the last outcome of the NGF. The rest of the slide change allocation, care program, tech back program, care economic participation.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I think we will then open for questions and comments from the members. I'd like to welcome Honorable Charalala, representing JICS. This presentation was actually also included JICS. What we will expect from JICS is to be responding to the comments and questions that will be coming from the members that relate to that area of work. Honorable Charles, Honorable Mpumulwana, Honorable Charles, in that order, we have an opportunity.
Thank you very much,
and
thanks for the presentation. I actually saw the questions around matters that were not necessarily and I can recollect that when we came, when you came last year and presented the same presentation, you made the point in the committee that probably the most serious indicator, the most indicative indicator of the success of the department would be the extent to which people are reincarcerated, in other words, the reoffending rate. Because in a sense, you can give us any amount of indicators about what you do in daily programs, how many people participate, what program, how many people go to psychological services, but in the end, when all is said and done, if somebody reoffends, then you haven't done your job. It hasn't worked. And there was an undertaking that you would look at that and know what has become. I note some concern that the JICS budget is now integral to the presentation that has been made. Now I recognize that it's part of the DCS budget, but you'll be aware again, persistent debates that we had in this committee are independent objects from the fact that they should ideally have an allocation that is independent of the department's budget and come and present their budget independently of the department. Instead of that, it should now become integrated, and the learner's answer is just here answering some questions. I don't know what the status is of the other indicators that are given towards the end of this presentation, large numbers of rather more specific indicators that are given, which I don't know what the status of them is. And maybe we could be enlightened about that, because I have some questions around them as well. They weren't presented yet, so I don't know exactly what status they have. Let me stop at that point and see whether we have some answers. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Another one, Grant.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, thank you for the presentation. My apologies for being slightly late. The President in the State of the Nation address announced a massive program to fight TB in correctional services. And I'd like some indication how that is being practically implemented. And I'd also like you to comment on the implications of the matter which was brought to attention of Lee versus Minister of Correctional Services. Now, I appreciate that extensive costs were incurred in that matter because it is a matter of principle, but what is of a concern to me is that there appears to be two other cases that are now being vigorously opposed, which are basically on the same principle. And I'd like some information, because clearly one doesn't want to waste, considering your budget constraints, one doesn't want to waste cost of litigation if it is on the same cause and the Constitutional Court has now issued an instruction. I would like you to tell us why the matters of CDET and Spencer are continually being opposed if they are on all fours with the matter. Clearly then, if it is the case, then that matter should be settled to save further litigation costs. I'd also like you to give an indication of what is the contingency for litigation costs. We received a submission from the Detention Justice Board, for which we are grateful, which indicated some 984 million in contingent liabilities. And clearly, I appreciate the fact that some cases have been litigated to the end to establish a principle. But once that principle has been established, then surely the costs of defending those cases should rather be saved, and settlement should be achieved so that that money can then be used to improve facilities in the city. So if you'd like to comment on that aspect, please, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. The Jamlonia is that as well. I was just going to address the first of all the question, just asking questions really. You say you test people for TB. When you discover that they have got TB, do you isolate them? If you do, how is it affecting your budget or your state? If not, what constraints are there? How can the department be assisted? The second question relates to the psychologist. I understand that there are certain centers where, for example, one center where a psychologist has been there for 4 years has never seen a single inmate. He ended up resigning. And as a result, the life of the profiles are not sent to the minister for that law. If so, is that be corrected? I also, on the third, want to find out about what are the goods and services really that you say you are cutting. And what are the capital assets that you say you are cutting? What do you mean by less performing assets? Which are the, if you can specify this? The fourth question relates to secured incarceration. I understand that there is a lot of money, but 12 billion was incarceration. That's incorrect. I understand that this includes personnel and so on. But can we, I think we indicated some page on the importance of the CCTV and how far have you gone there? And the question of assisting blocking of the cells. Can you also comment on electronic tagging? Because I think those three things could assist in security. And if you feel that there is it may violate some constitutional rights, have you investigated that and found out? If so, how far? The fifth one is the care, related to care. But do you have any partnership with social service department? I would say, for example, to save money, you would probably have a person who has been taken out on parole and probably is in a certain particular area and could be assisted, you know, by social services. And also the victims, before they come into, I mean, after the incident, do you have, can you assist, you know, link with the social development so that they go and assist those people, so to work with them such that it saves some of your money, allocated funds. The sixth one is on the there are products that are made by the citizens, very good things like furniture. Last time you gave us a watch, you know, and a very beautiful one. Do you sell these items to the public or to other departments? If so, do they raise, do you receive any funds to assist in your budget? You talked about suppliers of food. What amounts, don't you have some items like food being reduced in prison and assisting there? If so, how much, what percentage is it coming up? I think so far, Honorable Chair, I rest my case. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Himlad. Just to thank the department for the presentation. But to say that the presentation is just too highly scientific, maybe I must just congratulate you for really trying to comply to NDP. But mostly when you look at the presentation itself, it just talks about targets, it's more of percentages. You see, for me sitting here, I need to understand exactly where you want to take the department. And it must be in an easy to understand language. For example, for now, you don't make reference to the number of prisons. You don't indicate the distribution per province. You don't indicate who is stationed where. But I think it gives us an idea of this plan in a way that actually helps us, almost like if we are with you. How many of these prisons are for males, how many are for females. And you can even help us to understand in terms of facilities as to whether there is that kind of balance, whether you find it the prisons for males are maybe more allocated to facilities as compared to females. One doesn't really have an idea of what's actually taking place. And I think it's in a manner of presentation, because you know, these things are just in percentages and they don't really come down to talking to us about what is exactly happening, and then they basically become difficult. And then when it comes to that outcome number six, you indicated that you are actually trying to comply with developmental developmental oriented public service. But somehow you actually indicated that how you want to achieve this is to actually have funded, to have all funded posts filled. I don't know, maybe I might not have heard you very well. I don't know, can you just explain as to whether this child is basically responding to that outcome number six? In terms of the expected national expenditure, my wife said the expected national expenditure keeps on rocketing. And sometimes you find that when you come in and you talk about your budget, the justification would be infrastructure projects. But infrastructure projects are not ongoing. There will have to come a time where you don't actually have to spend that much when it comes to, for example, I'm just making an example of infrastructure projects, which would then therefore mean that then your EME will have to actually come down. And of course, with the acting CEO tried to actually demonstrate what areas we have actually managed to start on. But when you look at the previous budget and compare it with what you are actually budgeting an increase, you know, and you want to understand this cut that you are actually indicating managed to actually influence reduction of EME as expected. So if you can just clarify us around that, because your budget is rather too high. One other thing that I want to comment about is looking at your compensation of employees. The percentage is very high. Am I correct to say it's almost like 15 billion opposed to compensation of employees? Then what happens to the general functions and running of prisons, maintenance of prisons, when 15 billion goes to compensation of employees? And in terms of performance, the MDA indicated to us whether it's performed or not. And also whether you have been in the position to get your annual increases and performance bonuses, which you should actually talk to in relation to your performance. Thank you very much. Honorable Smith, before you comment.
Thanks, Chair, and also apologies for being late. I tried to indicate that I was otherwise occupied. Chair, just a few points that I want to make, Chair. And previous speakers have covered. I want to start with the policy direction of this department, Chair. You see, our policy paper that must inform the budget is the high paper. Nobody has disputed it. And yet every year, Chair, when we look at the budget allocation, the budget allocation incrementally goes up in incarceration and administration, and very little in the care and development. In fact, Chair, the only increases that go into care and development and those things are the basic things, the salary, giving people food. But there is no clear indication that we are actually radically transforming this department to move money away from incarceration to education or something like that. Now my proposal to the department is that we cannot continue to design our budget by just increasing line items. In other words, what we are doing is every year incarceration is 5%, I mean 50 rand, increase it by 5% and everything like that. We have to get to a zero-sum budget if we want to radically transform, because historically the budget has been skewed towards incarceration. And if we just every line item increased by 5 rand or whatever, we're never going to change it. So it's a policy that must change. And my suggestion is that we have to go to a zero sum. We can't use last year's figures and just, if Minister of Finance will be increasing budget by 5%, all the department does is take what we had last year and increase everything by 5%. We're never going to change. So that's the first policy direction that I need. I want to talk to you. And they must give us an idea. The second one is the one that I raised yesterday and Mr. Self raised. And I don't think I was quite understood yesterday. You see, sir, let's forget about whether the judge must report to where. Let's forget about where he's reporting. But you can't have a situation where it does not have a separate cost center. It can't be, regardless of what you talk about of independence. Because what it means is that if the judge wants to buy a table, he can't buy a table, he must go to the department, because there's no line item that I can measure him on. No line item that can measure him on, Mr. Inspecting Judge, how much did you spend on a chair? I can't do that because it's now fused into administration. We don't know how much the judge is paying for salaries and wages because it's fused into administration. We know that the judge has had problems with accommodation. We know it. But there's no area where we can see that so much is set aside for the judge's offices. So I don't know how the department can come and expect us to approve this budget. I don't know how the department can expect us, or even the judge can expect us, to do oversight over his work tomorrow if we aren't able to say, but just, you had 10 rand, how do you use your 10 rand? And is the 10 rand consumerant to the importance of the judicial inspector? We aren't able to do that because it is infused in this thing. And somebody has explained to us why did we move away from where we were last year. Because for me, I'm not talking about where he reports, I'm talking purely about his administrative independence. And it can't be correct. It cannot be correct, not Jix, not Anthony, not any other person that we have a conscience. Even in the department, they have a conscience. They have conscience. This is management, this is finance. Why can't Jix have that? So that we can do oversight over Jix. Because the minister, I saw a letter from the minister yesterday, saying that the department will have and Jix will have common board, they'll do it together. However, the oversight will remain autonomous. I don't know how we'll do that autonomous oversight in this fashion. That's around Jix. The other one, Chair, is the overcrowding. Again, I think somebody raised it. When we raised this matter in the previous term, we were told that a considerable amount of money has been pushed aside for electronic monitoring. One, to assist with the monitoring of people outside, and two, to reduce the pressure on commanders. Today, we've not been told. In fact, some of us know that this electronic monitoring has not worked. Some of us know it. But we've not been given official line to say, how should you spend on electronic monitoring? How many people are in fact working on this thing? And what is the benefit being? So I would want some indication as to, because he talked directly to overcrowding. I'm raising it from an overcrowding point of view. So I would want to have an idea where and was the value for money on the electronic monitoring side of it. The final one said that we raised yesterday, and we said that we would raise this today. The Auditor General, because some of us work for the Auditor General in that capacity, have indicated the over-reliance on CONAP. In fact, we've got a report of the organogram, well, not organogram, but the spending patterns of consultants in the past. And the minister yesterday said, we must accept that there will be consultants because it's job creation, and I accept that. But the other side of the coin, Chair, is that the over-reliance on consultants is actually a job destruction. Let me tell you why it's a job destruction. In the department, we've got consultants that manage other consultants. We have consultants that manage other consultants. Now, I don't understand how that can be job creation. We have consultants who have been in the department for more than 2 years. I don't understand how that can be job creation, sir. We have a situation where, and we raised it with Mr. Maurice and us last year that were here, where the department has taken money, given it to IET, for infrastructure it's talking about. So we have a department taking money, giving it to another institution, who then goes and gets consultants to do the work. So the question that I'm raising to Ms. Modi is it not time, sir? Is it not time that we, in the interest of job creation, return all this outsourcing work to the department? Why can't you create a, you know, there was one there before. In fact, I'm told that there's a program management committee that should be does nothing in the department. Why can't we empower that one? Because it has to do with job creation rather than job destruction as was argued yesterday. And I want to close by saying, Chair, that some of the performance indicators, I think, must change. You know, we get an indicator that says, and you raised it, Chair, that says, 30% of inmates will be trained, for instance. It's meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless. I think they will go back and come back and say to us 1,000 people will have matric this year. Because that is condition. We're giving you 10 rand and 100 people have matriculated. Or we're giving you 10 rand and 100 people have become assistants. And to say 10%. Or 80%. And this has happened. I'm angry, Chair, because it has happened for the past 5 years. And I think we must send a message that Parliament is autonomous. Parliament has a right to ask our questions. We can't have a report that says there will be 15 job opportunities or 5% job opportunities. It doesn't say anything to South Africa about the rehabilitation. Let them say to us, at the end of the year, there will be 50 qualified lawyers, 50 qualified plumbers, 50 matriculants, because then we can measure those things together. I am just not sure that justice is being done to the legislature by the executive in the way that they are reporting us. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I'll open for responses from the department. It's okay, you have the opportunity. The second time.
Thank you, Chairperson and members of Parliament. I think what we're going to do is I'm accompanied by branch managers, and there are branch specific questions that have been asked by members of Parliament. So the branch manager will also have his team respond to the questions. Chairperson and members of Parliament, let me start with the questions that were put to us by one of themselves. And maybe to start with the crucial matter of the judicial inspectorate. Chairperson, we have, as a department, discussed this matter with the Minister of Correctional Affairs and Justice, including the Deputy Minister, both from Corrections and Justice. There is one important function that has to be done, and that is with regard to the amendment of legislation. And we have indicated that the Department of Correctional Affairs is willing to assist with the amendment of that legislation so that the judicial inspectorate becomes independent. There are, however, a number of questions that have arisen. And one of these questions is, if we go the route of independence, because the work of the judicial inspectorate is almost similar to that of the South African human rights, what would then be the questions that we will have to put to ourselves in regards to the function of the Human Rights Commission, the function of the judicial inspectorate? Second thing, which is very important, which we have also discussed with the team of the judge from inspectorate, is that in the event that a decision is taken by Parliament that that amendment to legislation is approved, would it then mean that the judicial inspectorate would be extend a loan that has made its own strategic plan and also its own budget? And that is the question that we will have to answer once all of what I have said has been done in terms of amending the legislation. Because up until now, the legislation is not amended. And the section that deals with the inspectorate is very clear. I think from the team that is sitting here, even last year we have indicated to the judge that if tomorrow a decision has been taken, the legislation has been amended, we will gladly assist the judicial inspectorate to be an autonomous, independent unit that reports to Parliament and not to us. I think the team that is with me here has that understanding. Secondly, the person which I would like to raise this point is that Mr. Shams is correct. We have made a commitment that we will provide to this August committee our progress with regard to the reoffending. However, it is not a function of, it is not some kind of work that we can do alone. Unfortunately, we have to do with the Department of Justice.
as the department, but also including the South African Police Service, mainly to categorize what we mean by reoffending. Do we talk about the same offense or do we talk about another offense? Because when we benchmark with other countries which have had a similar challenge, there is a clear distinction of reoffending with regard to the same category of an offense, but not reoffending when an offender comes in now with murder, and next time when he comes with death. That is not reoffending with regard to the crime. So we need to have consensus with our other partners in the cluster as to what would then be termed reoffending. And once we have that, we shall then come back to the Sports Law Committee and submit our findings and what we would like the committee to assist us in coming to a decision. Chairperson, I'll just take on the issue that I think I will be able to respond to, and then my team will also assist me in coming up with the response. And I would like finance to specifically focus on the products that have been manufactured by offenders. I can only say that it is quite correct. There are products that the department is manufacturing for other departments that our offenders in our workshops are manufacturing. And as a result of that, a budget is received and is paid into the state revenue. The other point that I wanted to raise was with regard to, the other response that I wanted to raise was with regard to the overcrowding. The Honorable Schmidt is very correct when he says that one of the main objectives of electronic monitoring was to also utilize it to address the overcrowding levels in our facility. They currently a contract that has been awarded, and we monitor that contract to see as to whether there is value for money. But what one can say at the point in time is our courts are really looking at utilizing electronic monitoring for remandee as well. And as we speak, we have one remandee on electronic monitoring, and another one, an application already has been done to the court for that offender to be placed under electronic security. The 6-year remand will elaborate on that. And Chairperson, to maybe conclude my contribution, the white paper on corrections in South Africa, in our understanding, is a journey that needs to be funded. And for us to be able to start that journey, the department decided to have the two PPPs, that Mangaung and Kugama Kisimole, to indicate that change in direction. At Mangaung, at Kugama Kisimole, we have a structure-based program. There's absolutely no overcrowding. And the number of specialized officials that render programs of corrections and rehabilitation is at a very high level. Now, the chairperson and members of parliament would remember that after the two PPPs, we then embarked on Mammothdale, we embarked on Goodwood, we embarked on Kimball, that is still okay. For us to then undertake this journey that would change the face of corrections in the entire country, the majority of the 243 correctional facilities that we have were built in the old era. That was meant only for incarceration purposes. Absolutely no room was made for rehabilitation, for reintegration. And that is why when we came up with white paper in 2005 was to charter a way forward. Now that white paper, Chairperson, is indicating a number of areas that are a serious cause for concern. One is the state of the facilities where we are incarcerating these people. Some of our facilities are inhumane. We do our best to cause that at least people that are incarcerated are held in humane conditions. Secondly, is to change the state of the mind of our officials, because almost 90 to 95% of our officials come from the old era. The officials that we have now are not able to meaningfully bend the old way of doing things, of just incarcerating and throwing away the keys. That's why, Chairperson, as the Department of Correctional Services, we then undertook to have this journey. And that journey would also talk to the education, because
our facilities, other than the ones that we have just established now, there is no room for education facilities. It's just for incarceration purposes only. Now, get to that, the overcoming level. In most of our facilities, Chairperson, we have introduced a double banking system. Now, suppose we have a facility that must incarcerate 50 offenders. And now we have double banking, it means 100 offenders. The number of officials that are supposed to be working with these offenders stay the same. The facility stays the same. And that impacts negatively even on the morale officials who have to go every day to work with these offenders. So we have these challenges that we can only be in a position to change. One is a significant increase in the budget of the department to look at an infrastructural program that will change the white paper of 2005 forward. I think, Chairperson, once we have that assistance from Parliament, we'll then be in a position to, when we are asked questions, how far have we gone with the rehabilitation? How far is the offending? This department shall then confidently indicate, because of what we have done now, we are able to do that. Kutama Simtumule, Mangau, Chairperson, will come here and say, we have had so many offenders, so many have gone out, so many have been rehabilitated. We cannot say the same about Portsmouth, we can't say the same about Johannesburg, we can't say about Devon Westbury, because what is happening at our institution is the stockpiling and the warehousing of offenders. And I think that understanding will then enable this house to assist us. If we have this difficult task that we have with the resources that we have, this 42,000 officials, which is nowhere near able to rehabilitate and to correct, that we will be able to succeed. The person has indicated I have a team with me, and I would like branch managers to also contribute. Maybe we'll start with the remand, and then do incarceration, and then do social reintegration.
Thank you,
Chairperson,
and honorable members of the committee. I'll deal with the electronic monitoring around the remand if you need specifically, but also the issue of the contingent liability in terms of litigation. I think Honourable Fati has mentioned a number of issues around that. With regard to the electronic monitoring for remand detainees specifically, as Commissioner has indicated, there was one remand detainee that was based on electronic monitoring. And from that remand detainee, a number of challenges came up. Those challenges were mostly related to the interaction between with the role players, the NDA, the courts, ourselves, staff, that haven't come up before because this is a new system. So what we did is we had extensive consultations both within correctional services but also with the external role players that I've mentioned in order to come up with a protocol that will prevent those challenges from happening again. For example, the one in particular that I recall is who decides where the awaiting trial person can reside. When there's a decision initially in court, that information is given to the control room of electronic monitoring. They then do inclusion and exclusion zones so that they know if that person is sitting outside of their particular inclusion zone, for example, if they're under a house arrest, then they need to know that person has changed their address. But what has previously happened is that the investigating officer will make that call and allow for that change to be made. So now we do need a protocol in place that deals with those particular challenges. We've done that. The protocol has now been presented to the NOC, the National Operating Committee of the NEEP of the Chief Justice, because although the judiciary is not a signatory to the protocol, it's very important that they obviously give us input in terms of what they can and can't do. That was done at the last NEC meeting. The judiciary will give us input on that protocol and it will then be finalized. The issue of the contingent liability, first of all, the cases that were mentioned of Sigat and Spencer, I'm not personally familiar with the details of those cases. What I can say is that although Savili sets a precedent for us, that doesn't necessarily indicate that each case relating to TB is necessarily the same as that particular case. I will look at these cases and give you feedback. I need to first establish whether they are in line with Sadie Lee or whether they are particularly factual issues related to those particular inmates. We've been given very clear instructions that no cases should be pursued simply for the sake of pursuing them, and certainly we do need to settle if we are not doing well in the merits. That is something that we do, and we regularly settle cases where it's indicated that would be a setting to the department. On the issue of contingent liability. Our contingent liability has been incredibly high. And when we looked at why it's so high, we have seen that we include less of demand that we get in the contingent liability, which is not necessarily an indication of the actual liability of the department, whether in that city the number of cases that are brought to us, but also in the amount that is claimed from the department. So we had a meeting with the Auditor General and the acting CFO then to look at changing that, and we've been given a very clear indication that we just need to do a proper motivation on at which point we include things in our contingent liability. And once we have established the differences there, we would make those changes. Our contingent liability would then be, we believe, far more realistic when we look at only including them from time of summit. I think those are the issues that I needed to deal with.
Chair, my apologies for the delay. Chair, I will refer to some of the matters that were raised in terms of within my direct area of responsibility. See, I think the third one that was raised is a very important one, and that is the one of TV, which was also included in the President's announcement, and which is also managed by the Deputy Presidency's office. Chair, I can, without hesitation, say that as Correctional Services were mentioning TV in the past, it's really something of the past. The current approach is where we do have a very open and sound relationship with the Department of Health nationally, as well as provincially, as well as district, as well as sub-district level, which is also supported by the agreement and relationship with the Global Fund, as well as with the Center for Control Disease. Link also to that, Chair, is the PEPFAR funds, the Presidential Emergency Funds, that we also have now the opportunity to also delve and use those funds. Chair, in this relationship, and to make sure that the TB is addressed, I will just summarize the current plan, as well as to provide some progress and an update and feedback. Chair, obviously the intention is to make sure that we address TB in all our 242 correctional centers, and the objectives are basically for in collaboration with the Department of Health and the other stakeholders, Jay. And summarizing, Jay, I will say, is to increase the TB, but TB is also linked, Jay, to HIV and AIDS, because if you test for TB and there's positive results, you're then also obliged to test for HIV and AIDS. So they are going almost hand in hand. Jay also then is to increase the finding of those. In other words, we need to take more and more. I think in the presentation by the risk management, it was also indicated the number of those that were tested, and I'm not going into that detail for now. Jay, and what is very important, in the past, Jay, when we have tested somebody for TB, you will take the sample from the individual, it will be sent by slow mail and slow delivery to the laboratory for testing, and then it will take also its own time, Jay, to come back. Currently, Jay, we, in the collaboration with the role players, we do what they have, what they say, ETR net. That is, Jay, electronic TB register online. Jay, meaning that if you are testing at the place where you have a gene expert machine, you have the results within 2 hours. Where you don't have the expert machine and we use the nearby facilities of the Department of Health, the results of those tests, Jay, where it is off-site, is available in 24 hours. And I think this is one of the major achievements, that as and when as a person you can identify the TB and start immediately with the medication and the program. Yeah, and then Lastly, is also, Chair, in cooperation with the Department of Health, is to increase the awareness, the presentation, and the diagnosis, as well as the treatment, and implement the guidelines of the Department of Health by not later than the end of next year. So it will be a phased process and a program where we are going to roll it out to all the corners of all our centres, and also including the small centres, Chair. Chair, currently we do have 12 gene expert machines in our facilities. It's at the bigger facilities, Chair, for example, the Osmos, the Devon, the Johannesburg, the Hoshimapurus, because the number of offenders there, Chair, are much higher and the machines are used much more effective. Chair, with the machines, it's not only the machine as itself, there's also a technician which is sponsored by the agreement with the role players with the noble funds that are on site, because you need to be a qualified trained person to do that, Jay. So it's not just to have the machine, but you need also a technician and those who are doing the test, Jay. Jay, also I can confirm that in this year's bidding process, the Department of Correctional Services, under the Deputy Presidency's guides, will also be part of the process to make sure that we increase the number of gene experts machines. And I think also for us for noting, Chair, that when we had the event and officially launched the Paulsmoor one, it was observing that in the media and in the columns, you find members of the public immediately almost criticizing the installation of these machines, because they are comparing that with their own communities to say they must stand in long queues, but those incarcerated is, being assessed and tested very quickly. So I think I'm just mentioning this, Chair, that in the process where we are looking and asking for more money in that process, that there's always a balance that we need to strike. But I think the fact that the President and Deputy President raise the matter that mines and correctional facilities need to be prioritized, help us at least with to report the progress that we can report now, Jay. Jay, let me also just touch base on a related question of the lead judgment. After the lead judgment, what's the department that has to analyze the judgment vis-a-vis the policy? And Jay, I think you've tended to note is that the Lee judgment goes back to 1999, meaning that those who were on the Petroleum Committee by then, Jay, will know that it's a total difference between now and then. Jay, from the 1999, I think we started to develop the white paper that was referred to previously, the one of 2005. And Jay, there are a number of improvements which I will just highlight a few of them and not bore the portfolio committee with too much fine detail. Chair, stemming from the white paper, we also then introduced and have several policy amendments as well as legislative changes. Chair, I just want to mention the last changes of section 38, where it is now compulsory to have an assessment of those that you are admitting with a 6-hour initial assessment, and then within 24 hours a further more detailed assessment, and also to include healthcare staff at admission. Chair, that is still one of the areas that we are grappling with, and that is when you admit people from court, sometimes you admit them during the day, it's fine, but then there's this that you admit after normal official hours. And I know if you are saying 6 hours, you'll always find that you admit a person at 7 o'clock. Are you saying after 6 hours you need to finish everything by 1 o'clock in the morning? So those practicalities, Chair, are still there, and we cannot hide it. We need to share it here openly. But Chair, in terms of the working hours, then easier if those late admissions, then at least the next morning the healthcare staff will do their assessment, and that is really one of the areas that is helping. League with this, Chair, is obviously at your biggest centres where you have the gene expert machines, where it is a very similar process to identify those. In terms of the last to say of the lead judgment, all areas here in the judgments that have an effect and an impact on DCS, we have highlighted them, and those that were not already amended in policy is in the final process because policy needs to be reviewed on a constant basis and it is being filtered in their chair. Chair, if I may, then we go to the next area, and that was chair in brief, what you said, and I think we need to agree that the strategic document as well as the IDP is more on a strategic level and not on details. Chair, in terms of the, to give a picture of the current situation, we have on day before yesterday, the totals of our facilities is just below 160,000, of which round figures 44,000 remand detainees and 115,000, almost 116,000 are sentenced offenders. Chair, from those, and I think that is a question that you directed, to look at the female side. Chair, in terms of female remand detainees, Chair, it's just 1,045. And sentence 2,993, meaning that our female offender population is roughly 4,000 in comparison with the 160,000, meaning that the 156,000 on round figures are male offenders. So the 243 correctional centers that we have mainly 8 female centers, and I'm saying mainly meaning that where we can really provide some programs here in terms of female offenders. It is in the each and every region who have one, and there are bigger regions there with two. See, there's also very small female admission centers where there's one or two females where we admit them, and as and when we move them obviously to the places where we can provide some programs. See, whilst we are talking about females, I can also say that on the same date of the 14th of April, there were 102 babies with their mothers incarcerated. Yeah. Just to give that a picture, Chair. Chair, and then I want to go to the, and I will just not respond in detail because Mr. Rasarogo do have the information. Chair, in terms of Mr. Smith's concerns that we are reporting on a percentage basis, we need to agree, Chair, but what I can also say, Chair, to come to those percentages, we do have the detailed information available that we can provide as and when we do, for example, quarterly reports or at the beginning where we can say, if we're saying 80%, 80% is equal to this, and also a detailed analysis of, for example, Gelman grade 12, grade 11, grade 10, and those who are, if we're saying in the report 1,782 are doing skills program, we can also break that down to say which different skills programs are they, so we can, as a department, provide a detail, and I think that is the detail that Mr. Smith was referring to. And I think, Chair, also, one can also then use the advice from the portfolio committee to see, as a department, how do we find a balance to respond promptly to what the portfolio committee want to see and what we are providing, because if we can find a way to include that, meaning that that's not a question, and then we can use that information to go into further details and provide. Chair, was also the matter of psychologists. I'm, let's say, fortunately not aware, because if one is aware of a psychologist that's sitting 4 years and doing nothing, that person don't belong in our midst. Chair, what I can say about psychologists, and I think it's important, and the committee will remember from the previous administration also, psychologist is an area where the country and the department struggle. And we have struggled in the department to fill the head of psychologist position for more than 5 years. But fortunately, we have filled that position of the head of psychologist in the beginning of last year. We were also successful also to fill the two deputy positions for the psychologist directorate also in February last year.
And this chair is really going a long way that you have now senior leadership who can provide leadership and guidance to the psychologists that we do have. And chair, what we are experiencing already positive results from the fact that we have better leadership from the psychologist directorate is that you have now a more organized way of interacting. You find that there's now more work sessions, more integration, there's more sharing of information, and that impact directly on what the Honorable Ms. Kulani said about the submissions to the parole board for the compilation of profile reports there where we need psychologist reports, and there's a major increase in the submissions. And I can also confirm that we had three sessions, Chair, with professionals that include psychologists with the National Council on Correctional Services to also to share the knowledge and experience on that senior level with the psychologist, and they have now more clear and a better understanding in their submissions of reports to the parole boards as well as to the National Council and to the Minister dealing with LIFAS, Chair. And although one cannot say at this stage that 100%, that is a major increase and a progress that we can report here. Chair, since we have this stabilization in the psychologist field, we find also that we have more and more community social psychologists who are prepared to do their community service in correctional centers, and currently we have 24, and more and more of them are then opting after the community service to continue with their service in correctional services, because I think previously it was almost in the minds of people a no-go area, but now that they are there, they see that it is an opportunity for them also to obtain experience, and here we have then the situation where they opt to continue and to assist as permanent appointees correctional services. Although, Chair, we still have a vacancy rate that is 33%. Safe to suggest that we have 61 permanent psychologists, the 27 vacancies, plus of the 27 we can now refer to the 24 community service employees, that if you add them, you almost know the situation where it is manageable for the department to do what we're supposed to do in terms of the psychologist directorate. So I will pause for now. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Mr. Smallberg. The chairperson will give this opportunity to the finance team.
Thank you very much. Maybe before we continue to the final session, can we have a 5 minute comfort break?
I'm going to go to the hospital. No, that's not the question.
You got my SMS. Yeah, yeah. Really gonna rate in the minister. You feel not happy. Okay. The change is already to 19:30. Okay. I'm on 18:15. I'm waiting to check. Okay, great. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you for the fine. Thank you very much. We can proceed now. Can you settle down so that we can proceed? Over to you, DCS.
Thank you, Commissioner, Leadership Assistant, and the Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. The last time I checked the people who were in the committee questions, I was at the we were sitting at 70,500 in terms of the caseload. And the people on the system, the authorities, the professionals, awaiting trial, there was a question on the value end of electronic monitoring. The National Commission has already responded to say that the service provider, which I was awarded the contract, is monitored closely in terms of what they provide to the Department of Correctional Services. The contract was awarded to Engineering System Solutions on the 23rd of May 2013. And since the inception of the M system, 1,009 people have been detected and 405 were detected. We are now currently sitting with 604 people in the school of electronic monitoring. And as I said, that electronic monitoring is aimed as assisting in terms of managing overcrowding. Currently, it is utilized as an additional condition to housing. But where we are looking to, we are looking at also using electronic monitoring as an alternative sentence, and as this has already been extended as well to our awaiting trial person. There was also moving away from electronic monitoring. We still have challenges in the area, the challenges of dedicated human force to monitor electronic monitoring, and we also have challenges of vehicles because you need to have vehicles for quick response when there is an alert that has been registered. We also still having some challenges related to other equipment that the people who are monitoring the officials who are can utilize to come to those things like your mobiles, cell phones, and the rest. Now there was also a question related to care being given to people when they are in the system of corporations, that is your Carolines. The question was related to what extent do we partner with other government departments? Yes, when people are released on parole, we do make referrals to other government departments depending on the need of the person. We do make referrals to your health facilities, your clinics. We work with the Department of Social Development as well. And with the Social Development, we also work with the social workers there who team up with our own social workers and psychologists in the Department of National Services. And also in the counseling and the traumatic routine of our victims when we do the restorative justice victim of center dialogue. So with all the people in our system, we do work depending on the needs with the other government departments and NGOs and NGOs. I think I've covered the questions that I have directed to social education. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thanks, Commissioner. On the question of revenue, we do manufacture and sell to other government departments what we manufacture, especially on office centers we do, and we do some establishment as well. We have a relationship with the Department of Physical Education with regard to the school furniture. The huge project that we are undertaking and starting, especially the Oxford workshop. but if you look at what department we are planning to call in even in the MCS supporting as of 15-16 financial, we're planning to collect about 124 million of revenue that is centralized in the National Revenue Fund, which is appropriated because the revenue that we receive from hiring out of vendor labor, what we do hire out of vendor labor, especially to some NGOs and to other government partners to bring them all of that and then charge them for their work and the number of hours that they should spend in one of the services that we arranged on. But when it comes to the projected amount that we anticipate to collect from selling manufactured products, it's small, it's 1% physical of 2024 million, which is about 1.4 million. But there is a direct correlation between our utilization of the workshop and also the part that they have mentioned in the presentation on actually digitalizing our workshop to then push up the production. So if you have to take a workshop equipment that is going to be on the production level and how much then we can sell to other government departments. But we do this in order, even in provincial government departments, and we do take advantage of the platforms that we have. If you go to national government and that's the reason we always don't say thank you to people who mention that government departments and we can like our services in terms of buying from the outside. But we are not directly selling to the public. We are not. Some years ago, we had tried that, and the response that we received at that stage from National Treasury that we could take small business to the added advantage of the cheaper, even if it's the equal cost of the department for offering the country business to the normal outgoing rate of selling the business that we can then charge. So therefore, a selling price is a question that we do not need to get a kind of fair competition. So given that we're limiting our strength for the vaccine, even government and government interest. On the question that the Honourable Chair asked around compensation of employees, indeed, compensation of employees in the department takes the biggest chance of the allocation to the economic participation. It's about 68% of the allocation that goes to compensation of employees. Department, but I think for me the more the move to modernizing, especially around security, probably not necessarily anything to do with the health agencies, but we shouldn't invest in electronic security equipment in our facilities and just whatever to give them the number of security officials that is going to be in the first day for everything in our facilities should be managed. On average, the growth around compensation of employees is generally around 5.7%. So what is that? Imagine at an establishment level, even though it should be maintained at 2006 as an establishment. Yes, in all the question of performance bonuses is part of the compensation budget, and we do pay the awards to officials that are supervising, having passed the audit processes, and the moderation committees, different levels. Then we are saying that we budgeted the bill for 9 million, we slightly decreased as indicated that we had to cut the compensation budget without reducing the number of votes, which are the areas that we then catch in the allocation. And we are not saying we are going to pay them as awards, but we're saying that we need to close the money and then the question of not being a cost center or having a cost center. GIF is a cost center, meaning the GPS and other cost centers. It is not a program, actually I agree, it is not a drug program, but it's something that an internal department will engage on to then to relook well, remember it's a section 9-1. In that aspect, legal people and the executive authority to look at to amend for GQ to be a kind of self-accounting entity. But within the time, the Commission of the Law, we have used to put in a program, and one issue is that within the Department of Defense, that we have to engage with our treasury for the establishment within both of programs and sub-programs must be approved to ESA. So it's one issue that we will package that we need to engage in the national within the initial processes. So at least we begin to say, while the decision is to be approved, but yet the sub-program actually is visible in the both pages of the package as well. The charter is published before Parliament, the EMA, and if anyone can see that the amount of money that is in the historical figures, current figures, and projected in the MPA. So we are working on that. We have to emphasize the alarm of this to the legislation that is currently The other question that Honorable Smith raised on kind of increasing the budget based on your inflation adjustment as a program, we do seriously look at reprioritizing inflation. Remember, we're not having an increase in terms of injected funding. So first and foremost, the very first step in our MPA process is for all program managers, all branches in South State, and all regional commissioners within their allocated areas to do a reprioritization to critical policy issues and all of that. And where the inputs do receive those inputs, where we find that maybe a component that has not the power time, then those are the sectors that need to be saying, this is what I'm moving from your ones of items that we have in your next year, what is it that you're going to be giving that money, and where are you actually taking the money to? Because we have to have an alignment between the policy priorities and where people are going to be able to and not to provide funding to kind of less important items within or to more administrative items. That becomes part of what we communicate clearly in our guidelines, clearly indicating that if you give an input and set internally the component where you have not demonstrated and motivated those interested. By the time we go into the budget committee of the department to present in case funding, we've already done that, and then present the group of decisions to say, Region 8 is the question to prioritize funding from these areas. But when you assess the impact of that, where people are taking money from, to say, we're prioritizing from this program, these areas to the following, and this is the impact. If you look at program rehabilitation overall is year-on-year, you look 14, 15, 16, 16, it looks like there's a dip of 1.3%. But in actual fact, on goods and services, we've increased the prioritization for rehabilitation and also entropical. We've pushed it up here. But the decrease, more decrease was on compensation of employees, because again, I think in the quarterly report we presented to this particular committee to say that when we look at the personal establishment, yes, there are areas that we need to clean up, and once you clean up or personal in terms of establishment and establishment control, you then actually this person is rendering his person in this particular program, therefore move this person physically on purpose to where he or she is rendering the services. And when you do that, then you should be moving the fund follow function. If I'm moving this person from this or this post from this particular sub-program to another one, I need to align that. So there were two regions where they then requested to move the compensation from the sub-program on corrections and also sub-program activities, those two, to move to the programs where those officials, in terms of the establishment, the services should be rendered, and that is the alignment. But if it was not for that, then we would have seen a problem in the allocation of program rehabilitation. Now, if then you look at how much has been put in terms of the CPI strategy over the MPDF with regards to the guidelines that we received, year 1 is 5.8%, year 2 is 5.5%, and year 3 it decreases to 5.3%. And you go and look at the program in terms of the average growth, you will then pick up that program rehabilitation average growth. It is much more than any other program followed by program, such as the integration. Because of the investment delivered, we took funds from administration, we took funds from security, from program 2,
to divert to rehabilitation, purpose of rehabilitation and social rehabilitation, and also the recapitalization process of rehabilitation. It does the difference, and that's what we also presented openly in the cluster, MTEC, which is between Shadow and cluster. So say, for us, it does become possible to not invest. It does. And at the end of the day, the fiscal will be popping up more because of less investment or if you can get committed. So therefore, if you don't have an injection of funds, everything has been less, then you can approve because then also to share that with the information. So they approve that we then kind of raise money from the following and this is the impact to begin to steadily invest in them up until the fiscal will be able to afford us, especially when it's going to be able to produce more in funds. We need to invest in agricultural equipment. In most areas, the agricultural equipment is dilapidated. The equipment that is only stringent in So that's the part that we need consciousness. But overall, rehabilitation has grown by the average growth of 6.2%, social reintegration 6.1%, there is a 5.54%. So we consciously do look at that. And we continue to do so. Up until then, more or less, you can say, safely show the investment, etc. But I fully agree with some of the things. But if you then look at the white paper, the intentions of the white paper, and the allocation across programs, you want to, which is still a commissioner, that is also indicated more on security. And it's also looking at the people sitting on our establishment. There's more and the security than any other program in the department. But it will take us some time, and by contacting them, that's also a question to the government of the way. If we need to reduce them with two critical areas of education and social rehabilitation, it just can't be just by reprioritizing the baseline system. But in the same breath, we really need to improve also the capacity to share the relevance of the allocated those programs to kind of invest. And then to say that we need to build that capacity, that when funds are put as most super funds, then those funds, we can believe that we will have to spend.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the responses. I think it's actually some of us lost an opportunity of engaging the minister yesterday about JITS and JITS participation in processes of this nature. So I think it's a matter that still needs to be engaged on coming out of the discussion of today. I hear all this comments about ailing infrastructure or equipment, but I do believe that maybe you need to look at your compensation by the time. It is just too much because it leaves everything with no money to attend to. In his budget speech, the Minister of Finance has actually indicated that you have to put a moratorium on posts that are vacant for 2 years. Your report didn't actually give us an idea as to how many posts are vacant. And whether you intend filling those vacant posts or not. What I'm actually indicating here is very important, really go revisit that area, because this is what actually eats up a lot of money. Maybe this is why there's no good and satisfactory programs for rehabilitation and reintegration and care, because all the money goes to payment of us. And directly then leave the whole prison population without proper services. And at some stage also has been mentioned farms that are just standing there that belong to the department that are not being utilized. We will really be happy in future to hear you saying that there's equipment that has been bought, now this is what's taking place in the farms. So that in itself is part of rehabilitation. And skill development, we can come out of prison being farmers. So when they come out, they don't even have to go look for work. As soon as they can find, they can land those in the position themselves to actually till the land and produce out of the land. We haven't heard from the ICT director, Vito. because they had a crucial part of the activities that you have recommended in the past about the camera systems and metering systems, the biometrics. And I'm not sure whether those processes are, and that's very important. You really need, I'm not sure in terms of budget as to how much you have actually budgeted for this area of work. Remember, you wanted to run this out in 5 years. You said, no, shouldn't be in 5 years. We want to see this within the next 2 years. That was last year when you're talking about. We want to see this rolled up in the next 2 years. And this will actually quickly kill, then suddenly in prison, kill the murders that take place in prison. And I'm not sure how far we are with those processes. And then you are actually indicating that because of the provisions of the white paper, you need more funding. And if you don't get more funding, whatever is the provision of the white paper, which is good, cannot be implemented. My feeling is that if you've got any provision that is good, you don't need to do everything all at once. You can indicate step by step. This is what we pulled out of the white paper, and now we are implementing. So that we don't develop a way of dealing with business in the department that actually almost allows us to have reasons why we can't move forward. So my suggestion is that look at the white paper, see what you can, what is good that you can manage to pull out of the white paper, so that gradually we move along. Because you have a lot of money. And I think at the end of the day, it's not about reprioritizing only. You don't talk about just staff and staff development and issues of restructuring. And somewhere you hear that we have actually inherited staff from the apartheid era, and because if you know this is actually is making certain processes, especially when it comes to rehabilitation, difficult. But it means when it comes to human resources, you need to really look at how to deal with it. And I'm just suggesting, I'm just mentioning restructuring, because restructuring is part of doing it. So you have to actually really study the entire scenario. And then you look at your money, you look at what you've got as your human resources, you look at how you can utilize your human resources maximally. To a point where you'll be in the position to attend some situation of knowing how to turn this whole thing around. I mean, for now, maybe you need to start thinking of a turnaround strategy. And turnaround strategy is actually also looking at issues of personnel and personnel placement, and looking at the type of skills that you've got. And then we're indicating you've got sophisticated machines, but you don't have space for rehabilitation. And I'm sitting here and I'm wondering, but I mean, if you have one consultation room, and I'm not saying for TB, that's for whatever is there, you can use the consultation room, you can be the doctor in the morning, afternoon, the psychologist, the social worker. You have to be in it actually in the manner in which you utilize your space, so that there isn't really any reason that says something is not possible. I'm sure it can be possible if some of the services can be provided within the same facility. You could actually look at how to allocate time to some of them. Thank you very much. I would like to open for the last session for follow-up questions. I would recognize Honorable Mpumbana, Honorable Charles, Honorable Maila, did you raise your hand?
Yes.
Honorable Maila, Honorable Smith, Honorable Shoke Sitole. What I would actually like to suggest is that try to also be brief so that we manage to respond to all these questions in time, because lunch is not too far, and after lunch we will be graduating to National Assembly. Before I actually open up for questions and comments, I can see that you're raising your hand. You want to comment?
Well, there was a comment about the fact that we now seem to have partners with DCS, whereas we have been talking about independence, being partners independently, being a unit which is a stand on its own. That has been the top all along. But the minister said we should be working with her. So we started by the combination of the strategic plan. We have prepared our own strategic plan. They prepared their own strategic plan. And it was said that we must have one strategic plan. It's both for us and them. And then when it comes to the budget, well, of course, they are responsible because the excesses, they are responsible for the expenses of cheese. But it seems the whole thing is abstract. I've got two figures here proposing to the same thing. One figure from GCS, which is an allocation of funds to us, is dramatically different from the one which has been submitted. It all comes under program and administration. Then there is this document, which says estimate of national expenditure, the allocation for economic support units. You find that certain figures which are the same, compensation of employees, 30, 14, 15, 37 million, 506 lines. The same document. When it comes to the second column, 2016, one document says 2 million and 21 grand. Another document says 9 million for 107 grand. So if you look at this document, that's even. So now we don't know what's happening.
Which one is the one that, because the one that you're telling me is the one that has got 53 million. 112.
We're giving
this. Let's check where this comes from. Let the commissioner look at it. Oh, okay. Okay, oh, I'm told that it's a presentation that was prepared by this, that one. So this one is prepared by GPS, which is what has been presented this morning, which is what I saw in front of me. So GPS prepared a separate document, which is different from what GPS has just presented now. I'm sorry, that it can be corrected outside this meeting. This is something that you need to both look at. But what has been presented in this meeting is what actually comes to the total in 2017-18. 53 million 112.
2015-16 17 15 million 15 million.
We
can give ourselves some decisions. We can't start from the sun. We believe we have prepared the team and
they need to ask, and we are working on this. Okay, can I request that you have an opportunity of meeting and I wish out, and then you can then send us what you find out. Is that the case? Thank you.
Right. To explain now the other question raised by yourself, this arrangement was not the first prize. It was a second prize in the situation in which we are. Apart from the fact that we're complaining that we're not independent, they were supposed to be independent. The problem was that we didn't have funds which made us to be able to employ people on permanent staff. So we've got more than half of the employees of GIGS in contract. And the reason for that is that we don't have definite funds allocated to us to employ people on a permanent basis. So now that's why we have this arrangement. We thought this was the second best we could achieve in the circumstances. I hope I've not upset you. We are not accepting this as a permanent solution to our problem. but because the excess that they gave us this money, we have to agree to what they said. But we would like to be completely independent.
Thank you very much, sir. Can I now open for questions and comments for the members in the order that you have accepted?
Yes, you respond.
Oh, yes. I see. Are you ready to respond before the questions and comments? Does it really mean from the time we spoke about last year nothing is happening? Because now we're talking about a strange level agreement. I don't know whether it's an old one that ended in March. And also about this cell phone blocking device. I want you to know if it is going to actually impact on the community. What will be the radius that you'll be looking at? If you talk about 12 meters, I think it's not a big distance that can actually go out of the premises of the train. And we're talking about it as an emergency, but I guess you also have what landlines, because it's about cell phone blocking. I don't know, some of the things are not very clear. But you can think about it and then later respond to it, because I want to open to questions. I will begin with Honorable Self. Okay, so you follow them.
Thank you very much. I
mentioned by there was some pledges in the case, clothing is each plan. And I want specifically to refer to two of them. The one is to reach out to the activities within the parks. There is a shared that the baseline against which we have to measure is 92.75%, which is 64 or 69 officials that were found guilty of corrupt activity in 2014, 2015. Chairperson, either something dramatically could have happened in the past with the corruption suddenly disappears, or these figures are simply wrong. Because if you go back a couple of years to the 2011, 2012 annual report, you will see that depending on which figures you check, there were 163 officials charged with fraud, corruption, and serious administration. So in other words, the point I'm trying to make here, and I've made this point over and over and over again in the past, is that I have difficulty accepting the identity of the figure. I don't actually, if you look at them from year to year, they change. And I'm afraid to say, I just don't believe that there were only 69 officials in the Department of Correctional Services that were found guilty of corrupt activities in the last financial year. It's just not believable. And if I could go on, I mean, this is really a question that on the spot raised around legal issues of the success of the defendant. I mean, there's a target there of 75%. I mean, do what you measure to do. So if you measure on successfully defending action, then you're going to defend the action, never mind the settlement. You're going to defend them because that's what you get measured to do. I have a big difficulty about what we are measuring, and whether what we are measuring actually speaks to the efficiency of the department and the achievement of the strategic goals that it should be setting.
Thank you. I just wanted to touch on certain things which my colleagues from the department the first one was I specifically asked if TV patients are isolated and if so, how does it affect their budget or allocation of space. I think it's important to answer that. And secondly, IRA and 35 various under the day. The other one was the question of what goods and services or what capital assets are specifically meant to mean. The other follow-up questions will include it's difficult to bite the hand that feeds. It's very serious, this question of a person watching whether the GPS is. Because the Indian prison has been a place, most brutal place in oppression, and has a tool of oppression. You know that very well. And that's the reason why it has been changed from prison to correctional service was it's serious. And we need to go very fast in making each a correctional service. And the two things are very short as it is correctional service, not prison. One of them is not to move from the idea of incarceration to that of reality. That's one very important. The second one is that there needs to be an independent making sure that you do and that if, for example, surely if I have to say, please, may I go out before I watch you, you know, surely you say, no, wait a minute, I'll take that is and I wish you could have that in mind. And there are many other organizations that are checking human rights. Not only. You've got the public protectors,
is also a human rights, what do you call this lady's gender commission and so on. They are also on human rights, but you can't then say that there is this one that you've got to make sure that they're watching you, they can't be independent of you in a way. I think we did the change because of the law in that respect. But I wish we could appreciate that. That it is difficult for them to work. In that. The other point that Honourable Chair, I wanted to share here was to ask, what criteria do you use to send somebody to Kutan? Because they can be better prisoners there, you know? Get out. What criteria do you use? Who do you send there? And I just want to clarify one thing. When you say continuing offense, it's simple. Because in there, if you do your rehabilitation properly in your training, you make the person that he does not offend. Does not offend. Any type of an offense. If it doesn't mean only the offense that you go to there are certain programs that you do which make the person feel that it is bad to do anything bad to someone. So you do that. I think it is crucial because the society is expecting that the prison, when a person comes from prison, he must not offend. And so I think I just wanted to clarify that to you. I think I've covered the other one is not only the department, many other departments there. There are many lawyers that are employed specifically in your department. There are lawyers that are employed that you employ other lawyers. They have never been before, they don't get involved in anything. I wonder if this is a treaty, but I think that was raised and I think that you need to check on that. And I was asking, connected with that, whether in these new electronic devices, if what you always depend on service providers, doesn't it compromise our security sometimes? How do you get people being trained and devices, equipment, and so that we work on them? Must we always budget to give it to the service provider? Is there no plan to move away from that? Somebody else checks our offender, and we don't know what's told by him, but our friend also is offended. It might also say when you have to prove beyond reasonable doubt that I have reached the security. I can tell you, no, I didn't. The service provider told us you did, and so on. It might have some legal implications. Thank you.
Honorable Smith.
I wonder, accounting commissioner and the indicated that we asked the question specifically, is the electronic monitoring working? And we were told yes, it's working, but they're checked. The first question is, and must be shown, where have they picked up for addressing those challenges at its. Because we seem to say to you that we have a challenge on the airports and a challenge on home front. But you haven't had this year. It means you're going to come back next year and give us that same excuse. So they must show me, if they've got the challenge, where are they addressing it vice versa? Because otherwise it needs to bring challenges. You can't spend so much money on a program and forget to buy airports and home front. Where is the product management of this organization? I just think that this department must understand that they can't come and say that. You spend a billion then, and then you say, hey, by the way, they forgot cars. You forgot the people that need to monitor it, but you didn't buy the equipment. So this show us in the budget how are they addressing the challenges that they have. Otherwise, why must we spend that? And it will be really for fruitless expenditure. Let's just wonder, that they will come to hope and we will raise it as fruitless because we are warning them to say, it will be through this expenditure and somebody will accompany them. So I think I saw where they have those challenges. The second one says, I want people to give us debate. You know, unless we are looking across us, we had this debate about CCTV cameras. We went to the Human Rights Commission, and I'm prepared to say the entire South Africa is not talking there. I'm talking about CCTV cameras. The issue that you are raising around Jan, we are not saying Jan, the whole of Monument, looking at the whole principle. It is possible to jam only this room. It is possible to do it. There is equipment to do that, or pardon, the equipment to do that. Now, people say that, no, if we do it, it's going to affect the surrounding areas. I equal that as well. And they mustn't say that to us. They really must not say that to us.
No problem.
And they must not say that to us and think we must accept it. It's not a scene of the life. There is equipment in the market today, so people must say to us. In writing, I'm requesting in writing that piece of legislation from CAST that restricts us from doing this. Because, Chair, I want to argue that I'd rather change the legislation of jamming, because the damage that it's doing, prisoners today are running syndicates from the prisoners. I will give you the name. We will give you those names. So, I'm talking about this. I want you to go and argue this. Because we don't want to expose them. And we will expose them. We really have a way to expose them. Because we were in constituency service. My work was, it's the heartland of dragons. Western is the heartland of gangsters. I'll give you name and number of these gangsters that we want. In Sunday. On cell phone. Now, I just think the government must balance whether that has the argument. Is stronger than the argument of people murdering people because they've got self consciousness. I want you to go and do that research. I want to give you something right, because we're going to raise it with the minister, and I'm certainly going to raise it some kinds of things. I think South Africans must decide whether that has the argument against or whether our people are dying. I'm exposed. So if that's second one, you shouldn't give us advice. What is this talking? If it's money, I understand, but it can't be this. And then the final one said, I think the commissioner responded to it, but I think there's a data commissioner. We were talking about CCTV, I agree. And minister also said, and I don't really think that people understand. You know, some of us have joined members. You can't compare private prisons to our state prisons. But they're not overcome. By design, they are not overcome. And therefore, their rehabilitation will be better now. Number two, the cost that you spend on an inmate in San Francisco and the cost that you spend on an inmate in the private prison are totally different things. So you compare it. And to say that the private prisons are a work, it's never going to work until we bring our numbers down. It's wrong to compare these two things. No, it's a good process because it's giving us funds for our needs. It does not give us an indication to us. The question Commissioner raising, and I'm saying it to support you, that we have to fast track the infrastructure program in this state. Can I let you do that, Commissioner? We are not going to get that. You can't have 1,000 people in studies in an area that only held for 3,000 people and ever expect to get somebody out of there that we cannot take it. So I think the argument is being made, and I'm asking for the support of the committee. We have to help these young men and ladies fast-track the modernization of the infrastructure. Because unless you do that, I'm afraid this white paper is not worth the paper. Because we never get that. I'm going to say that. And we must argue in Parliament that they need to have a little bit of that. And ladies, Commissioner, have you and the Minister indicated that, because the Minister indicated, you must fast-track this bilateral with you and those people. I think we need to do that.
Thank you, Honorable Rapistoli.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. First of all, I just want to express my love and appreciation for all of you. because you see, I'm very scared of criminals. And you guys keep them away from me. And I'm always very passionate about what you are doing. But you know, when I was listening to the figures here, I thought there would be a figure that would say you are looking for so much as an incentive. I think Honorable Self knows that during the apartheid era, when you work in a place that was undesirable, you used to have something like tolerance fee. Yeah, when they worked at our place, the commissioners were paid tolerance fee. So I was just thinking very loud whether these people here from the department are given anything to incentivize them, just to bring up their morale. I don't imagine myself working in that environment and still remain safe, you know. So that is why I'm feeling seriously from the bottom of my heart. I really admire and you are doing a very good job. But you must also think of what I am saying very seriously. I also would like to see a figure that talks to a empowerment of satellite, you know, encouraging people to learn more in their area of work. Just like in Parliament here, we are encouraged to study in our area. Studying as I am, I'm writing every year because I am encouraged to study, but so that I fully understand what I'm doing. Because that would actually encourage a lot of people to join yourselves, because that department, I think, is not a really nice department to work in. So it should actually have more incentives than other departments. I also heard something like you manufacture furniture, and this nice furniture you are not allowed. I don't know whether it's treasury. I would like you to give me the name of that guy in treasury. I deal with that. Because you see, we need to move as of towards actually showing the community that there is something good coming out of that department. Because for me, sitting in that rural village, you want me to, when you talk about regional service, I always get scared. I don't want you to talk about it anymore. You spoil my lunch if I'm eating, you know? So we need to work towards showing the South African community that there are things that are coming out of the department, and these are good things. Because I think that is the question of today, whether it's going to kill small business or what. Because I think if you were to supply maybe furniture to the Department of Health and other people, and actually get other departments like the housing department buying for these RDPLs, you know. And we talk about it. You see, the problem with South Africans is that we talk about anything and everything and everything that is negative. We don't talk about the good things that. And unfortunately, human beings need to hear good stories. Otherwise, we'll spend a lot of money in the Department of Health for administering high blood pressure. Thank you very much.
Honorable Mayor.
Thank you. The department has identified the change of legislation as a remedy to the two shortages. So I want to check the start process at it. If it has not started, what is it likely to start? And I don't think it will be that. Yeah, and the last issue linked to the issue of overcounting. I wanted to check the issue of one official and the number of clients and how that affects the staff morale, and actually to be briefed on what could be the health situation.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mutapo,
please. Thank you, Chair. My apologies, Dr. Sen, if I may ask a question which I've already been asked for the last question. Mine is based around incarceration and based on reform for my detainees. I would like to know the number of institutions that have tried with the uniform and number of those which are available. And also the name of the service provider who supplies those uniforms and the budget for the service project. And time frame, when will this process be finalized?
Thank you very much. I just want to comment on something that relates to the test that we are making. To say that, in actual fact, the person or the officer who is reporting to us is the commissioner's office. All of these people who came here are supporting the commissioner. So anything that is in writing, we will have to demand it from the commissioner. Because from the commissioner, then you go to the minister. So whatever suggestions have been made about digitalizing the report on electronic communication and services, I think we will require that report from the commissioner, and if we're not happy, then we will address it to the commissioner. And to just want to get an idea of the people who are here, all of you almost are at chief director level, isn't it? This is even worse. No, it's responding to the comment that we must have invented some allowances to say that SMS packages are inclusive. Because then you have to actually take into consideration in working at the difficult circumstances. Okay. Honorable Chairperson,
colleague. I just forgot to ask if the commissioner does work together in line with cooperative government with the Inspector General of Intelligence, because I had problems being raised about telephone blockages. I think that Inspector of the Inspector General of Intelligence, maybe he knows my status. I know that because I trust the intelligence like that.
Thank you. I'm sure the suggestion is welcome. And to say that one thing that is important also for us to help our understand the department, try to assess if we don't know anything. And I'm sure we don't know anything. That's why we don't even know your level of employment now. Because there's no report that even talks about the structure. Because you know, you must have a structure and give you a picture of what is going on throughout the country so that you know who is placed where. What type of skills they've got. So you shouldn't demand things that are impossible. And I think moving forward in the future when you present, I think you say maybe we think we are fine with the structure. Also to the structure. Because earlier I made a comment about distribution of prisons within the provinces. If one province comes to us and say, we don't have prisons, how do I respond to them? I need to have information that is actually specific to me in terms of the population of this province. And the number of prisons that are there are enough. Not talking about the quantity, just the number. So please, in this our new report to us, give us that information. For you, maybe it's not important because it's something that you work on every day. For us, it's important because it needs to give us a feel of what is happening in this area of work. So that when we engage you, whatever engagement we have with you is based on the information, enough information. I'm opening for responses. We have about 20 minutes to do the responses. Thank you.
Thank you very much again for the opportunity. It's really very much appreciated. But also, I think the working day is that when we do the legislation, we must provide all of the information. I think we're taking note of that because once we realized when we were going through this meeting today that the issue is that we can ourselves close our eyes. Chairperson, maybe just to start with a very positive from Honorable Lee, focused on is quite correct, man. This is a very difficult kind of work, and it needs men and women with dedication. And in the establishment that we have, probably just under 40,000, they are dedicated men and women who put their lives on a daily basis in line to ensure that those that are in our care are kept in their conditions. And, it's quite a very demanding, stressful kind of employment. And without those men and women that are doing this on our behalf and on behalf of government, we have a situation in the country where crime would be no unprecedented levels. What I can say is for your level 12 downwards, that's level 12 downwards, there are incentives that we take out, where, like, for instance, marriage bonus for those that qualify. But for level 13 and above, there are no merit bonuses that are being paid. When they qualify, they only get their salary progression. There's been a conscious decision that has been taken because of our performance with regards to all the opinions that we've been receiving in the past years, that in the management must take responsibility and ownership of that performance so that we can do something to change. Also, that is the case. But important as well is what you're saying as part of our outreach program. And maybe we're not saying much of what we do. And I'm going to ensure that next time we come, we should be able to provide to this committee all of the activities that we are involved in communities to indicate what are the changes that we are bringing about in the neighborhoods of those that are not able to fend for themselves. Establishing houses, providing furniture, establishing schools, and all of that, providing some poverty alleviation, and also making donations to community organizations. We're very much involved in that, and maybe from our finance team, once we come again, we need to have a presentation that indicates all of those interventions that we do. I think, Chairperson, important thing is the fact that We don't work alone in this country with regard to efforts to fight crime. We work very closely with the police, intelligence community, and other departments like your NPA and justice. And as a result of that, we are at a very advanced stage to reduce the number of cell phones and to root them out for opportunity because of intelligence reports that we get. But also to stem this type of criminality in our society. I must confess and agree that we have a number of gangs operating in our facilities, some of which are operating with some gangs outside. But the phenomenon of gangsterism in our country does not actually start in our correctional facilities. It started from the mind. It starts from community. And then impact, because these people that we have come from communities, do not come from correctional facilities. They are children that are born in our own areas where we stay and grow up in our communities, committing crime, colluding with one another, and graduating into imprisonment. That's what is happening in our country. And we therefore have to have a conscious decision to fight in crime by involving communities where these children are being born, to schools we are attending, to parties, so that we have a collective approach to fighting crime in our country. We're working with the Inspector General, and we're also working with the Commissioner of Police. There are distractions like your NICOC, that we are also a member of, where we provide our challenges, they also assist us. In our region, all regional commissioners are members of the Corps Joint, where strategies are being designed and formulated to fight crime inside our facilities and also in communities. So we're really moving with that. Secondly, Chairperson, Mr. Maile, quite correct. We have started with the legislation, but I think having had yesterday the discussion for today, there is this agency that we have then to take to minister to indicate what is the feel of the community with regards to amending that legislation, that section that deals with the inspecting judge, to start looking at what would then be the alternative. that could be undertaken to make sure that the Office of the Inspector is independent and is reporting independently from corruption activities. Unfortunately, we may not be able to provide this with our overcrowding driver, which we will provide that to the committee and also indicate the ratio of officials and offenders. Safe to say that the overcrowding that we experience is mostly in our urban corruption of facilities, so called your urban in Eastern Cape, your Mthatha, your Western. That's where the overcrowding is very severe. Whereas your outlying areas, the overcrowding is not as severe. But what causes this overcrowding, Chairperson? If you look into our statistics, you'll see that our accommodation that we have currently is at 20,000. If we were to accommodate only sentenced offenders, we wouldn't have any overcrowding. But because of the decision that was taken by our cabinet that all remandees must now be sent to correctional facilities as part of the JPS cluster decision to fight crime and allow police to be more on the beat. We then were given the burden of having to also look after remand. Now what we do at this point in time was to look at our infrastructure needs. We accepted, and I must say in this round, and members who have been there would attest to that, we have missed a number of years in ensuring that our infrastructure needs have been addressed. There were decisions by the committee, by cabinet, that we had to stop the DPT correctional facility. And we missed that opportunity, and I'm not saying we should have gone that route, but I'm saying instead of coming up with clear PPTs, we could have come up with a modified version of the PPT, where the operations of that facility stay with the state, and we may just miss the building. At this point in time, Chairperson, we're dealing with that, and we're working tirelessly to ensure that we'll then be in a position to, in the next 2 to 3 years, at least, because we need 20,000 beds, accommodation, to at least have that in our facility. So that program that we did with some 2 years ago, we've now again brought back to the table, and this department will come as well just before it gets approval and has informed the portfolio committee and members that this is our plan going forward. Chairperson, also I think importantly is to mention to this house that to yourself that we shall be in a position to provide to the uniform for the mandate. How many centers we have already provided. We launched in Mthatha and we are then rolling out to all our facilities. But I think to provide you with a proper answer would be to go back and provide in writing how many uniforms have been manufactured, to how many offenders, and to how many facilities, and what is the budget, and also who is the service provider. Because what is happening, Chair, we only buy material for a service provider. Our offenders are the ones that are manufacturing the uniform. So at our different workshops in the country, the offenders that are currently being manufactured on uniform for the uniform, as we are also giving that to our sentence offenders. So with regards to those two checks and I think that we will do that. Lastly, Chairperson, for myself, as I give to my colleagues to respond properly, I assure this committee that we shall provide a written response to the question that was put to us by Honorable Chair with regard to CCTV cameras and as well as what is it that has been done up until now. We provide that information. What I wanted to respond to Chairperson was the concern that is raised by Honorable Mpumlan. I think we might not be having the correct words to explain our commitment with regard to independence of chief. And maybe because we utilizing English, it could have been much better to put it in the show to our English course. That we say, best collective here, Chairperson, is ready as now to engage and also to look at what are the amendments that are needed to have chief independence. However, that shall be decided upon by the minister and yourself as politicians. now, yes, we are just public servants. We do what we are directed to do. And we look into what is in the legislation. And we work around the legislation to ensure the decision of the creditor is put in. So I just want to say that because we have had interactions with the judge, with this team, on a number of occasions, and have indicated our consent to assist with that process of amending the legislation. I would like to ask the colleagues to maybe attend to some of the issues that are not especially on the issues that were raised by Honorable Sharon. But let me attend to the chief patient. Secondly, when an offender has been diagnosed with TB, there's a regime of treatment that, that he has to follow. And what then happens is the medical staff decides to wear this offender must stay, depending on the condition that he's in and what level. If this offender is resistant to treatment, like your MDR, that offender gets separated immediately from other offenders up until he has been recovered to such an extent that he can be put with other offenders. Otherwise, said person, all cases of communicable diseases are treated with the sensitivity that is supposed to be done. TV, chairperson, and others are being treated seriously, and with the help of the Department of Health, we are even given that opportunity to treat the offenders when they are outside. Because we then hand them over to the Department of Health to continue with that regime. Chairperson, I'm done. Because you do.
One of the questions of the provider on electronic monitoring. Yes, the provider is there to provide the device to the equipment, but monitoring of the violation is done by members from the service provider and the health official. And the common thing is the chairs of the ground as the health official. Yes, one of those things. The issue of resources for the whole community connection to branch, especially on the resources and the resources like the airport, and the resources of the director, like our budget to show that from incarceration to community connection to social education, the department is working on that, and from the social and for the team that we need to do social education. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll try and go very quickly with these two. One is the monitoring community. It's done through National Treasury Transversal Agreement. There are a number of different service providers for different parts of the uniform. Currently, we have rolled out to 36 centers, and the balance of the rollout was done by the third quarter of the financial year. The budget is the total of 31 million now becomes to be a maintenance budget. With regard to the corruption indicator, this indicator does simply measure how many of those that have been charged with all of the different sections of 695, which is around criminal investigation, have been held guilty. So it won't measure general statistics in terms of corruption. What we do is a separate part of the DIU that goes out and that awareness raises in our national facilities, and from there we get an increased reporting of corrupt activities. So that indicator that we're not measured here. The issue of the successfully defending, you'll see from the indicator that it's actually a new indicator. We have previously had an indicator where we simply said defending 100% case, that is what we've done. This indicator is specific to say that how many of those that we think do we successfully defend. So it's no longer simply a single cases, but rather we make a decision prior to whether we need to send the case within our vehicles or whether ultimately we will need to withdraw on the part of the applicant. And of those, we need to successfully defend the case. We finish the decision. We base it on the agency measures as well. So it is a form of how do we properly prosecute those, how do we properly defend cases that are brought against us, without needing to support a settlement where we need to be the case in case that the settlement is true. It's also for that reason that the percentage on the old indicator that comes down substantially is the same as the second case that we defend when we do the whole case, but when we want to be successful as a 99% rate is achievable in the 71%. I hope that is true.
Thank you very much. Just to take the opportunity of thanking you, and maybe to know, Judge, do you want to share your closing remarks? Okay. To take the opportunity of thanking the department and for having made themselves available today for this presentation, and to say that we didn't really get answer to the vacant position that we supposed to put moratorium on. When you do the report on the information communication technology, it actually does include vacant positions so that you're aware of it, indicating the previous year how many vacant positions we had, how much money was actually saved from the vacant positions, and where the funds have actually been channeled to. What is important is really to focus on transformation, because basically the information that you're requesting should be all the time disaggregated, so that it actually also tells us whether we are on track in terms of issues of transformation. Thank you very much. This brings us to the end of the meeting.
Thank you.